joins us. All right, so welcome to the call on South Ward.
Yeah.
The physical impact is stomach, heart, gallbladder, thymus gland. It's actually having to do with will center. Okay. Feeling emotional impact is feeling unworthy, undervalued, need to prove value and worth. I don't deserve to be. Spiritual impact. My efforts determined my value. My value comes from the material plane. My wealth is determined by blessings of spirit. Spirit is capricious, always having a backup plan for God.
Yeah.
Having a backup
plan. I've got God's back, you know. When he fails and I'm there with my plan.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes we just run on the backup plan, don't we?
Yeah. Yep. Never go anywhere without a plan.
Well, I do have a right angle cross of planning, so yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
At one point, the message came from three different people that I should not plan anything.
Oh.
So it's kind of cool. And then other people or coaches are trying to get me to have a plan. And
it's I know. No,
I'm not running on the plan right now.
Yeah.
And it feels to me that you have to experience both extremes and then come on something in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where you get the wisdom is in the middle, where you have done a lot of planning and then you go no plan. And then it's sort of, there's more like an easy planning. This one is, I value who I am. I value what I do. I feel precious. So do you feel precious?
I wouldn't describe it that way, no.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Don't feel precious.
No, I feel okay. I mean, I feel like I'm better than I was when I quit my job. I quit back in 2008.
Okay.
I quit because I was going to get fired from that job anyway. I was just beginning to realize that I should never be working for anybody, but I didn't have any plan to work for myself. But I couldn't, I just couldn't do this job. And I love the people, but I hated bookkeeping.
Okay.
Hated all those details. I don't know. And, you know, for someone who always thought she was detailed, that was a big shock. So anyway, I quit my job, and the idea was that I was going to take a month off, and then I was, you know, going to rest and then go back and, you know, start applying and for jobs and stuff. Well, my husband had a psychotic breakdown right after I left my job, and so I spent the next 4 years, 5 years taking care of him. So that was my job. And his break was medication, although I didn't know that at the time. And he was, you know, he was getting kind of dangerous to live with. And so he had fallen, and he was 20 years older than me. So he had fallen, and I took him to the emergency room. And there he just had, I mean, he thought everybody was out to get him, and so they wouldn't release him to me, and I had to put him in long-term care. And everybody told me he was dying, and so then I thought, no, he's not dying yet. he's not ready yet, so he's not dying. But I couldn't keep him at home. I couldn't keep him at home, and if I didn't choose a place, then they were going to choose a place. And I knew that wherever he was, he had to be somewhere where he felt safe and secure. Otherwise, he would go. And so I had 4 days to find him a place. And then, because he was so, you know, he really didn't want to go, but he had to go. And so I became his only backup. And every time he wouldn't do something for them, somebody would be calling me at all hours of the day and night, please come and talk to Jim so that he will take his medications. Please come. He hasn't eaten in 3 days. So we have to get him. So I was constantly going. So rest was a thing of the past. So, you know, and then when things calmed down and then after he passed away, there were no jobs for 60-year-old women out there. You know, so I had to rethink myself, you know, what was I worth? And what was my value in this world if I wasn't working and bringing home a paycheck and contributing to somebody's company?
Right. And as you could see, I have my issues with my headphones.
Yeah, I see.
And it just happens. There's no rhyme or reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did okay last time using just the speaker, so I'll go ahead with that.
Okay. Well, that was I can hear you fine.
I know. It starts buzzing in my ears. Mm-hmm. Weird. It just doesn't feel comfortable. I can hear you well. Mm-hmm. So you had 4 days to find a job, and during this time, there would be, right, you had I'm the only backup for him, you said.
Yeah.
So here we go, the backup. So you're the backup.
Yeah, I'm the backup.
You're the backup. Material stuff, looking after his well-being, the physical stuff, the money stuff.
Yeah.
At the end, what did she say? So you found him a place. He is safe and he is in a comfortable place.
Well, he's passed away now. This was 2009.
Oh, so
this was a whole adventure. I could take up this whole hour just talking about this little piece of my life, and I'm not going to do that. But that was where I really had to struggle with worth. You know, I've always struggled with worth, but then I realized really quickly that if I was doing something for somebody or I was contributing to some group, then I had a place, and that gave me some value. Because usually my place, my value in there was something that was either the linchpin or something that nobody else could do. So I had value through that. And then when I didn't have a job, my only job was taking care of my husband, which was fine, but it didn't pay anything. And so I wasn't bringing home money. I wasn't contributing to somebody else's business and making their business fine. And I wasn't a part of any group anymore, because when you're taking care of a person who needs care 24/7, you all of a sudden have no friends. Nobody wants to come to your home, and you can't leave. So you're by yourself. And so then it was, okay, what is my value? Well, my value right now is taking care of my husband and making sure that he doesn't wander off or hurt himself or whatever. And then when he was in care, long-term care, then it was being the backup for everybody else that was there, because he'd get into, you know, little snits, and he wouldn't do anything until he saw me. And even then, I'd have to sit around and, you know, kind of talk him into whatever it was that they wanted to do. He didn't want to take his medication. He didn't want to eat. You know, he didn't want to exercise, and, you know, all these things that he didn't want to do. And so they didn't have time to sit with him and make him do it. I did. So that was my worth. But it's exhausting. It's really exhausting to take care of somebody by yourself like that. They'll live with you for a while. But then after he passed away, and then, you know, I had that grieving time and that time to just kind of, you know, have things settle down, then it was, okay, now what do I do? You know, I know my age, but I don't feel like I'm, you know, going to croak any second, and I don't look like it. And the, you know, when I was a kid, people who were 60 years old were walking around with canes and all that, and I certainly don't do that. So now what? So then I started trying to find a job, and quickly found out that nobody wants to hire a 60-year-old woman, 60 plus, for anything. And so, and especially since I didn't have a big career, I wasn't a lawyer or a doctor, you know, CEO of a company or anything like that. So, so then it's okay. So if I don't have enough value that somebody's willing to, you know, to hire me and pay me to do something for them, then what value do I have? And that's kind of where I am now. I'm better at it, but it's still there. That was what I was thinking. Part of what I was thinking this morning, I felt a lot of abandonment last night. And then that led to, you know, what am I worth? What is my value in this world? I don't know. So.
All right. Let's start tapping in that. We'll see what comes up. So okay. Preciousness, you feel okay about preciousness, but don't feel it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I don't panic at the word anymore. But it has this quaint sound. My granddaughter, who's five, my great granddaughter, who's 5 years old, is precious.
Do you lose preciousness with time?
What?
We lose preciousness with time?
Yeah, I think, well, I do. I, of course, my standards for me are vastly different from my standards for everybody else in the world. So for me, I lose preciousness with time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I call Sawyer, you know, she's my precious all the time. And I did that when her mother was real little. And I still think of them in that way. And my daughter's in her 40s and my granddaughter just turned 25. So so I don't, you know, they get uncomfortable when I say that. So I must have, you know, transferred some of that stuff from me to them and on down the family line there.
Preciousness to them. All right. So let's start off opening it up.
Okay.
Even though I don't believe in my own value.
Even though I don't believe in my own value.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though there was time.
Even though there was time.
I lost confidence in my value.
I lost confidence in my value.
And I doubted how valuable am I to anyone.
And I doubted how valuable I was to anyone.
Yeah. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I've lost belief in my own value.
Even though I've lost belief in my own value.
And I really don't know how valuable am I.
And I really don't know how valuable I am.
Yeah. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Around the body. Eyebrow. No value.
No value.
Side of the eye. Lost my value.
Lost my value.
Under the eye. Lost my preciousness.
Lost my preciousness.
Under the nose. Hard to express my value.
Hard to express my value.
Hard to show my value.
Hard to show my value.
Collarbone. Not valuable.
Not valuable.
Under the arms. Fear of not being valuable.
Fear of not being valuable.
Heart. Looking for my value.
Looking for my value.
Top of the head. Lost my value.
Lost my value.
Did that trigger anything, feel anything anywhere in the body? Any memories, sound, pictures, touches?
No, I don't feel anything.
Okay. All right, we'll dig deeper.
Okay.
Even though it was very hard to look after my husband when he got sick.
Even though it was very hard to look after my husband when he got sick.
And I was the only backup for him.
And I was the only backup for him.
And that was really exhausting.
And it was really exhausting.
It was exhausting physically.
Exhausting physically.
Emotionally.
Emotionally.
Mentally.
Mentally.
And spiritually.
And spiritually.
And I felt like I lost my value.
And I felt like I lost my value.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway.
Even though when my husband got sick.
Even though when my husband got sick.
It was very hard for me on all levels.
It was very hard for me on all levels.
And I lost my value.
And I lost my value.
I didn't know how... I didn't know how valuable I was to anyone.
I didn't know how valuable I was to anyone.
I had a lot of doubts about my value.
I had a lot of doubts about my value.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though when I went through hard times with my husband.
Even though when I went through hard times with my husband.
I had a thought and I lost it. And I felt abandoned.
And I felt abandoned.
There wasn't anyone that I could count on.
There wasn't anyone that I could count on.
I've lost all support.
I lost all support.
And I didn't know how to support myself through all this.
And I didn't know how to support myself through all this.
That was very exhausting.
It was very exhausting.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though going through a very difficult time with my husband.
Even though going through a very difficult time with my husband.
Left me exhausted on all levels.
Left me exhausted on all levels.
And unsupported.
And unsupported.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Around the body, eyebrow, abandoned.
Abandoned.
Side of the eye, exhausted.
Exhausted.
Under the eye. Left alone.
Left alone.
Under the nose, not supported.
Not supported.
Chin. Left with no value.
Left with no value.
Collarbone. Abandoned.
Abandoned.
Under the arms. It was so scary.
It was so very scary.
It was very scary.
Very scary.
Very scary.
Very scary.
Top of the head. It was very scary.
Very scary.
Where do you feel that energy now?
Actually, I feel it on my back. When you said I have my back.
Me too.
My whole back.
Totally, right?
Yeah. It was, I was reminded, he was not my first husband, he was my third husband, and I was his fourth wife. And he had, he has two daughters by his first wife. Were grown. They're younger than me, but they're still grown. They're very much grown, had families of their own. And they live back on the East Coast. And when Jim started getting sick, I, you know, kept them in the loop with things because I figured that, you know, they needed to know, and he certainly wasn't going to tell them. And but they still needed to know, you know, something of what was going on. And so I would write them, send them emails, and I'd call. And we had, you know, this was never going to be a friendship, but we at least were civil to one another. And when Jim died, and I informed them that was what happened, the emails and the phone calls that I got were this, you know, I'm so sorry this happened, and, you know, and all of this, and they wanted to know what the circumstances were. And then there was this, I am so glad that you were there for them, for him. And there had been, over the years, there had been a few mentions here and there about how glad I am that you're you know, that you are here doing this work and taking care of Dad. And the way that I read that, the way that I heard that, was that it sure was a good thing that I was there, because if I hadn't been there, they would have had to take care of him, and they certainly did not want to do that. And so, and that's kind of rankled with me, you know, the entire time. And even now, I can kind of feel it. Somewhat, that was the first memory that popped up, was of getting their emails, you know, saying, thank God that you were there. And, you know, I finished the sentence with, because if I weren't, you would have to be. And that's been kind of a theme in my life, is that I've been there when other people were unwilling to be there. And I, you know, and it's exhausting to do that. And it was, you know, it was nice that they were grateful, and it was nice that they let me know, but I don't know if it was just me or if it was really them, but there was no stepping up in this thing. You know, there's nothing from, you know, the monetary sets part of it to the emotional part of it. There was just absolutely nothing here.
Family did not have your back at all.
The family did not have my back at all. So yeah.
Now, in the support, when we worked on it a while back with someone else, support, the repressed is self-denial, easy victim,
mm-hmm.
and rebellious part is blame and self-obsessed. And it is all in the will, too. So the will, it's like pushing through anyway,
yeah,
but the back is not being supported. And I guess in those situations, stepping in and doing it when no one else does, that is so familiar to me.
Yeah.
And then feeling like, well, but I, you know, I would look for people and no one would step up, so I go, okay, well, I'll do it, which is in a way easier, because then they have, they're out of your business and it's just you, right?
Right, yeah.
When you have to have the dance with other people, it's exhausting.
Right, yeah, you can just do it, and you don't have to, you know, tell other people what you're doing and then wait to see if they agree. And if they don't agree, then you don't have to deal with their non-agreement and use the energy there that you don't have in order to get what you're going to do anyway, at least with me. And you just do it, and then after the fact, let them know it's you've done it and it's done, and end of discussion sort of thing.
So having your own back during the situations, it's really, because mm-hmm. then you're looking for someone else to back mm-hmm. you up, and there isn't anyone.
Yeah.
Besides, you really didn't want it.
I know, I didn't.
I know, it's the crazy stuff. That's when we get so locked in this. Mm-hmm. Even though, not knowing my worth, has an impact on liver and blood. And supporting a loved one like I did support my husband.
And supporting a loved one like I did supporting Jim. Created my story about not being supported.
And I like that story. I'm the hero in that story.
I am definitely the hero in that story.
And if other people stepped in and helped me, I wouldn't have that story.
And if other people stepped in and helped me, I wouldn't have that story.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though I was a bit glad that the family, Jim's family, didn't step in. That gave me freedom to make all the decisions. And I'm really good at looking after other people and making strong decisions. Although this keeps me not feeling supported. But I certainly feel now appreciated by Jim's family.
I certainly feel appreciated now by Jim's family.
Because I did what needed to be done.
Because I did what needed to be done.
And I stay strong and I didn't go crazy or insane.
And I stayed strong and I didn't go crazy or insane.
Because the pressure was so big.
Because the pressure was very, very big, huge.
Huge. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though looking after Jim.
Even though looking after Jim.
At his dying times.
And his ill years, dying times. Yeah.
Put me under so much pressure.
Put me under so much pressure.
And it definitely tested my self-worth.
And it definitely tested my self-worth. Compiled with not having a job.
But that was kind of a good thing because I had the time.
That was a good thing because I did have the time.
It still created my story.
It still created my story.
And with that story, a lot of stuff got trapped in there.
And with my story, a lot of stuff that got trapped in there.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though at the end, Jim's family was glad that I was there for him.
Jim's family was glad that I was there for him.
And I deeply appreciate their words.
And I deeply appreciate their words.
Anything comes up?
I feel better.
Okay. Then I feel better now.
Yeah.
I feel better now about my story.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminded me of the story a week ago. I don't remember. It was two or three times back about another husband. And when you reframed that story for me, and I don't think you intended on doing it, but you said something and it just shifted it around for me. And I realized that it was the same story. I had just been looking at it through a different lens. And once I looked at it from the point of view of what you said, it became totally different. And I always listening to our guidance, inner guidance. And I had listened to my inner guidance. I hadn't argued with it. I hadn't sat there and tried to analyze it. And like, should I go now? Should I wait 10 seconds? You know, I just went. And that going changed everything for me. That just moving when I got the guidance to just go and move. That changed everything for me. I would not, if I hadn't done that, I would probably not be here right now. And and so the way I had been looking at it was I was the idiot for not doing what other people said and not going. I was the stupid idiot and I got myself into this trouble, and so, you know, bad me sort of thing. But I did end up, you know, it ended up being well. And now it's, you know, I did what I thought I had to do, and and I would not have known about my guidance if I hadn't done that.
And that was before Jim, anything with Jim.
Oh yeah, this was years before Jim. This was a different husband. this was my middle years, my 30s.
So that sounds good. Finish the setup, but you had a nice shift. So I don't feel that going around the body makes it's going to be impacting anything. I love this one, and let me, because you're talking about expectations that other people had and you trusted your inner guidance. Mm-hmm. And for people who have defined emotional center, I'm finding it myself, or what I found actually during this process when I did it myself, and I've done it many, many, many times.
Yeah.
But the recent one came up not valuing my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
As an emotion center, and as it goes up, the root, the pressure from the center feeds the emotional, and you have so many ways. I do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it kind of builds up expectation, and there's a letdown. And it is this disappointment of maybe emotions, because for us with the emotional, isn't it your authority? Don't you have an emotional?
It's authority,
And I'm learning a lot about this emotion, the expectations of others, and yet being true to you, because everything in your body is screaming no, and the emotions are like just telling you what you need to do, and then you go through the waves. So let's so it shifted. So even though I've listened to my story before,
I've listened to my story before,
and I'm now realizing how connected to my inner guidance I am. And it paid for me before. It paid off before.
And it paid off for me before.
And perhaps I don't value my emotions the way I should.
And perhaps I don't value my emotions the way that I should.
Because they provide me with very strong guidance. And they are the center of my authority. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though I've lived this story a couple of times already. I can look back and see how valuable my inner guidance was. And it saved my bacon.
I'm going to let the cat out. Sorry.
Not a problem. I think that was really perfect too. It saved my bacon. And I'm not willing to be a victim of other people's expectations anymore. Or being played by other people's expectations. In this story of mine. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though
I feel appreciated now for being there for Jim. And I realize now that I've lived this story before. And now I appreciate myself as well. Appreciation all around. Preciousness all around. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Let's do the preciousness, the eyebrows.
Precious.
Side of the eye, not precious. Under the eye, losing my preciousness. Under the nose, gaining my preciousness. Chin, appreciating my preciousness.
Preciousness.
Under the arms, I'm precious.
All of my being is precious.
I'm just simply the best.
Simply the best.
That was a good song with Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Wow, that was quite a nice energy release. Yeah, do you feel that?
Yes, I do.
Let's see if there's any secondary thing. When I've tested before, I've got, even though I'm not willing to release, not being valuable. So we'll go with that and do a round of tapping on that. Even though I'm not willing. To release not feeling valuable. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm not willing
to release not feeling valuable.
I
deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm not willing.
Even though I'm not willing.
To release not feeling valuable.
To release not feeling valuable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Eyebrows. I'm not willing.
I'm not willing.
Not releasing side of the eye.
Not releasing.
Under the eye. No value.
No value.
Under the nose. Releasing.
Releasing.
Chin. Willing.
Willing.
Valuable.
Valuable.
Under the arms. Feeling valuable.
Feeling valuable.
And heart. Sending vibes of being valuable.
Sending vibes of being valuable.
Top of the head. I'm so valuable.
I'm so valuable.
Was that a nice layer?
That was, yeah. That was a nice layer.
So let's do the choice seat. The third eye, we tap on that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. What needs to be released or healed?
Needs to be released or healed.
In order for me to fully proclaim my preciousness.
In order for me to fully proclaim my preciousness.
And sit with that.
Yeah.
And see how that feels. And you can do this anytime. Go into bed helps just asking the question and not waiting for the answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Just the seed. Mm-hmm. So what do we have in the physicality, the gate 46, and it does impact self-worth, impact our physical, you know, vitality, the back. Man, it's a big one.
Yeah.
Lovability, decisiveness, courage, authenticity. Mm-hmm. There's no self-worth in here, but it seems like that would be connected to that other layer. It's still liver.
Yeah.
Embodiment of the spirit in form. Emotional symptoms is frustration with body, challenges with vitality and physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you've gone through in this memory that you shared.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to leave the physical realm behind. That was kind of like, it was going on for Jim at that time.
Yeah, that was.
So I'm wondering how you feel in your body.
I feel pretty good, actually.
Are you able to stay in your body most of the time?
Most of the time now, yeah. I've had to put in a lot of practice to not only bring myself back into my body, but to know when I'm getting ready to go, when I'm getting ready to leave somewhere and just leave my body down here and keep myself in my body.
Right. Conscious dying, I think they call it. And I think that's a totally different experience that anything else. So let's tap on the 46. I'm getting something like the negative one is I don't believe I can be in my body. So we'll do the positive and then we'll tap on the secondary EFT. We'll just go with that if it's okay with you.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I don't believe I can be in my body because I think we always hold, well, I'm finding anyway, we always hold both beliefs. Mm-hmm. One we hold consciously, the other one is unconscious or subconscious somewhere.
Yeah.
So putting them together feels good.
Okay.
So we'll just do a simple, even though I don't feel good in my body.
Even though I don't feel good in my body.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I don't feel good in my body.
Even though I don't feel good in my body.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And you can use your own words if this does not fit, you know, use other words. Even though I don't feel good in my body.
Even though I don't feel good in my body.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Eyebrow. I don't feel good.
I don't feel good.
Side of the eye, my body.
My body.
Under the eye, staying in my body.
Staying in my body.
Under the nose, being comfortable in my body.
Being comfortable in my body.
been not being comfortable in my body.
Not being comfortable in my body.
Collarbone, wanting to leave.
Wanting to leave.
Under the arms, wanting to stay.
Wanting to stay.
Heart, make up your mind.
Make up your mind.
On top of the head, making up my mind about staying in the body.
Making up my mind about staying in the body.
You like that? I love that too. Uh-huh. Yeah, make up your mind, really.
Yeah. I am wondering, I have Saturn in my conscious, conscious and unconscious, but I have Saturn, 46 is in my conscious Saturn. And when you said uncomfortable, that's the main emotion, the main sense that I get is this uncomfortableness about having this body. And I know I've got it, but I've always, for some odd and unknown reason to me, my body has always been the subject of somebody's attention. And usually it's somebody that I don't want to have attention. But, you know, when I was very young in my, before 10, I was too skinny, and then I was too fat, and then I was abused, and then I was pregnant, and it's never been quite good enough. And even when I'm not pregnant and everything is fine, you know, I'm not a size 6 or a size 4 or a size 2, and I'm never going to be, and I don't really want to be. So there's always been some kind of problem with my body, and so I've learned to look at myself from the neck up. You know, I have a great face, so I can at least say I have a nice face and I have a great smile. And just, you know, I ignore the rest of this stuff down here. I have hands to feel and feet to walk on, and I can drive a car. And so I figure that's about as good as it gets. But my body has been demanding more attention in the last few years than just my saying, okay, it's nice and I do keep it clean. And so we're doing well there. And but it's that sense of just being slightly uncomfortable. Like I've got this thing and I have to have it while I'm here, but I don't really want it, but I'll take care of it as best I can until I can get rid of it kind of thing.
Wow, that's great. I really thought we were tapping for me, you know. No, this is great. I'm glad we tapped into you. I thought, well, Linda probably doesn't have this issue.
Oh.
And here we go. So that's great because, trusting the guidance, it always shows up something really juicy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, let's expand on that. Even though sometimes I only exist from the neck up.
Sometimes I only exist from the neck up.
And I like to ignore from the neck down the rest of my body.
I like to ignore the rest of my body from the neck down.
It works for me.
It works really well.
And sometimes other people seem to point out the rest of my body. And I don't like it.
Sometimes other people seem to point out the rest of my body, and I don't really like that.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I formed this habit of ignoring my body from the neck down.
Even though I formed this habit of ignoring my body from the neck down.
There must be a bunch of beliefs that I formed that I don't know about.
There must be a bunch of beliefs that I formed that I don't know about.
This is how I feel right now, and I'm okay.
This is how I feel right now, and I'm okay.
Even though being in this body is sometimes hard.
Even though being in this body is sometimes hard.
And I appreciate it has its use. It's valuable.
And I appreciate it. It has its use, and it is very valuable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Eyebrows. Being in the body.
Being in the body.
Side of the eye. Being out of the body.
Being out of the body.
Under the eyes. Being inside the body.
Being inside the body.
Under the nose. Being outside of the body.
Being outside of the body.
Chin, where's the body?
Where's the body?
Collarbone. Sometimes I don't know where I start and when I end.
Sometimes I don't know where I start and where I end.
Under the arms, living inside the body.
Living inside this body.
And the heart, living outside of this body.
Living outside of this body.
Okay, top of the head, being bringing both inside and outside of the body into one.
Bringing both the inside and the outside of the body into one.
Does that feel like you stepped into the body or you stepped outside of the body?
I think I stepped more in.
Okay.
Inside, yeah.
Cool.
Because I can feel my energy now. energy running through me now. So.
Well, that's good because I couldn't really quite tell. It felt to me that I was outside of the body. So I think that we are experiencing kind of like both energy.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Yeah. Perfect. So we have a next one, the secondary EFT. Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
But I'm starting to realize that maybe I can.
But I'm starting to realize that maybe I can be in it.
I choose now to be in my body.
I choose now to be in my body.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
I'm letting that old belief go.
I'm letting that old belief go.
Because I feel that actually I can be in my body.
Because I feel that actually I can be in my body.
And it feels good.
And feel good.
And I choose to be in my body and feel good.
And I choose to be in my body and feel good.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
Even though I don't believe I can be in my body.
My eyes are opening to the possibility that I actually can.
My eyes are opening to the possibility that I actually can be in my body.
And I choose to feel in my body.
And I choose to feel in my body.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Is that the kitty?
Oh, no, that's sorry.
No.
And that's Sawyer. She's singing.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's singing. I thought maybe someone
practicing the scales. She's doing her la la la.
I thought maybe someone wants to come in. Okay.
No, that was I had the door open.
I know.
She's from the other side of the trailer, but she's got a good voice.
It's hot and it's the windows are open. We get a little bit of interference, sound interference, but we are concentrating here on the work and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
So around the body, eyebrows, belief, side of the eye, non-belief, under the eye, disbelief, under the nose, preciousness, chin, believing in preciousness, collarbone, letting preciousness in, under the armpits, feeling preciousness, heart, sending out preciousness, top of the head, preciousness. Wow, what did you think about that?
That was very good. It was just a touch of kind of melancholy because when you said being that, you know, being in my body, it's feeling good to be in my body and feeling the feelings in my body.
Right. And feeling preciousness.
Yeah. And the feeling that preciousness and I just had this this little wave coming down. I keep thinking, I don't, you know, maybe if I stayed in my body more, I would know when, you know, my wave, especially going down, rather than wait until I'm 3/4 of the way there and then go, oh, maybe this is what's going on.
Right, because if we don't stay in the body and we just see the neck up, that's where all the thinking preciousness is. But connecting to the not being in the body, I mean, that is our issue, really. Such a global thing. And yeah, totally. Wow, that was really nice. I like that.
It's good.
Feeling preciousness is totally different than being precious. Feeling preciousness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a beautiful seat point, which I think we can do. So what needs to be healed or released?
What needs to be healed or released?
For me to fully embrace the beauty.
For me to fully embrace the beauty.
And vitality of my body.
And vitality of my body.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Tying it beautifully together. I love that 46. And we have a beautiful temporal tapping here too. Around the ears. My body is the vehicle for my soul.
The body is a vehicle for my soul.
Physical reality is an expression of my consciousness.
Physical reality is an expression of my consciousness.
I look to my reality.
I look to my reality.
To mirror my mindset.
To mirror my mindset.
And my belief back to me.
And my belief back to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
My body is the vehicle for my soul. Physical reality is an expression of my consciousness. I would say the physical body is expression of my consciousness too. I believe we form this body through our belief system.
Yeah.
And would we inherit, you know, the belief system and stuff that we inherit from the parents. I look to my reality to mirror my mindset.
Yeah.
And my beliefs back to me. Mm-hmm. That was lovely.
Yeah.
Essential oils, white angelica, release, inspiration, valor, eucalyptus, and present time. I like eucalyptus. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I do have circuit blends that Karen sent us, and this one is a collective circuit blend. So I find that interesting that this is where we are getting our, that's the gate 46, and it's collective gate. It's in the collective circuit. So we pick up a lot of stuff from collective about all of this. Totally being programmed, and I have it open, so I really have to find wisdom about that.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yep.
Well, it was kind of cool, wasn't it? And it was just perfect, you know, it was a session for you, and there was just a lot of stuff that we covered, I feel.
Yes, we did.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Great. Very good. So do what you need to do to relax and take it in. I'm going to definitely relax. I think there was a lot of energy that we released here today.
Wow. We did. We did a lot of good work.
Good. So I'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay.
And thank you so much, Linda. That was
very welcome.
Loved it. Loved it. Wow. I'm so appreciative of your time here with me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your expertise and your willingness to do this.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm enjoying doing it more and more. It is something new for me too, so it's great. Love it. Good. All right. Bye, Linda. Bye for now.